I'm going to just continue on where I was on talking about divine increase. And I want to focus on determination today and being determined. And it was really a continuation of what I was sharing before. Because it's important to be determined about not only spiritual things, but natural things. And one thing I would say is that your determination is fueled by your revelation. And your determination is fueled or motivated or moved along by your faith. And faith comes from not just reading the Word of God. Faith comes from a insight or revelation into God's Word. Everybody has had an aha moment. You're reading the Word and you go, wow, I never saw that before. Wow. So the light of God's Word shined into your heart and you saw something that you didn't see before. And when faith comes, faith that's not acted upon, as James said, is dead. So faith once seen needs to be acted upon. And faith fuels that determination. Faith is really an action. Faith is not just believing. Faith is an act. So faith, when we're talking about here, when we're talking about divine increase, I keep hearing this down on the inside. It's loud. You know, you have an inner voice. I keep hearing increase, 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 increase. So when we talk about increase, when we talk about the kingdom of God, you know, we can increase naturally, and we do, you know, most of us, you know, if we want something in life and we're determined to get it, then we do what? We work at something to do what? Increase, to add to what we already have. So we may work a second job, or we go get an education to maybe, you know, put us in a position for a raise or whatever that may be, we do things in the natural to increase. But when we talk about divine increase, there are principles in the kingdom of God. And those principles in the kingdom of God is what? Seed time and harvest. In order to get a harvest, you've got to sow something. You've got to give something. So most people say, well, you know, they don't love me. Well, are you loving people? So you get more love by doing what? Sowing love. So you have to sow something in order to reap something. You want more finances in your life, you know, it's tied to your sowing. Now, that doesn't mean you can't increase financially by working hard. He who doesn't work doesn't eat. I mean, that's scriptural. But if you want to get, what does the scripture say? God is not mocked or ridiculed. That which we sow, we reap. So God's divine purpose, but his plan is that as long as the earth remains, there's going to be seed time and harvest. So we've got to sow something in order to reap something. I mean, even in the parable of the sower in Mark 4, it talks about the kingdom of God, it said, is like a what? A farmer who scatters seed on the ground. So God begins to show us the principles in the kingdom of God is seed time and harvest. So I'm saying all that to say, if we're looking for divine increase, then there has to be a spiritual principle behind it, not just natural. Always remember, we contact God through our spirit, so we're actually in two. It's like running on a track. There's parallel tracks. Your physical body contacts this earth realm. You see, you have senses, but then your spirit man is contacting God. So we have connection to two worlds, don't we? The spiritual world and this natural world. So you cannot, in the spiritual world, the spiritual principles affect this natural world and the things that we do. What did Jesus do? He cursed the fig tree in Mark 11. That was something what? Spiritual that did what? Affected something natural in this natural realm. So the things that we do in this natural realm that are based upon something spiritual will affect the natural. Hebrews 11:1? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of something not seen. And what does it also say? Hebrews, I believe, 11:3. It said let's turn over there real quick and just read it. I'm going to jump into today's lesson in a minute. But it says, Hebrews 11:3, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by what? The Word of God. So that things which are seen were not made of things which what? Do appear. So if you want divine increase, you're going to have to do something that's not seen. Faith is not seen. You can see the action of faith, but faith is spiritual. And so the spiritual is going to affect the natural. Right? Praise God. So let's jump in. So this word determination, most of us kind of have an idea what that means. You know, if you're determined, it just means you're single-minded, you're focused. It means you have a fixed intention to do what? To achieve something desired. So what would be something similar, a synonym? It means you're single-minded, you're purposeful. Well, what does that mean if you're not an antonym? What does that mean? It means you're hesitant, you waver. Well, we got a lot of scriptures in the Bible that talk about wavering, right? So if you're not determined, that means you waver, you vacillate. I'm not sure. But when you're determined, what does the scripture say? What did the psalmist say? My heart is fixed, O God. It's fixed. That means it's set. It's determined. I'm not moving. I'm not budging off of the promises of God. Paul said something in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 2 in the Passion Translation. He said, "For while I was with you, I was determined." So Paul said what? He was determined to be consumed with one topic, Jesus the crucified Messiah. So he was determined to know him, not be moved to the right or the left, and there was all kinds of distractions in that going on, just like today. So we have to be what? Determined to do what? Keep walking, keep preaching, keep moving towards God, keep doing the things of God, keep helping people, keep ministering to people, keep our eyes on that prize. Doesn't mean we don't have other responsibilities. We do, and we're not going to be negligent of those. But you always keep your heart towards the master. So the determination or lack of determination will always be settled where? In your mind. So you, when you're determined with something, you've settled it not only in your heart, but your mind, your thinking. So our faith is based upon our determination. Faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So faith is what? Confident, determined. It's not budging. Think about what Paul was determined. We're going to look at this real quick here. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10, starting in verse 10 in the New Living Translation. Philippians chapter 3 in the New Living. It says, I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another I will experience the resurrection from the dead. I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things or that I've already reached perfection. But I do what? I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I've not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing. Forgetting the past, looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. So he did what? He pressed towards that. He was determined to not know anything else going on around him except Christ. Because without him, how can you minister properly to people? Then it's just you in the flesh trying to help people out of your head. But when you, it doesn't mean you don't have these things confronting you and not to think about them, but if you purpose and are determined to know him, he'll show you how to navigate life. He'll show you what decisions to make. He'll show you what to do in life, where to go, what job to take, who to marry, how to invest your money. You know, some people think God's not into investment. Oh yeah, he wants to do what? Prosper you. And so as we sow our money into the kingdom of God, he will show you how to prosper. So as you sow your money into the kingdom of God and the work of God, I can guarantee you, if you're a business owner and you do what? You're determined to place him first, seek him, he will give you the wisdom to know how to do that. Who to partner with, who to go and to invest with. He'll show you how to do that. Glory to God. John 10:10 in the Passion Translation. It says, a thief has only one thing in mind. You ever think about that? A thief, you know, if you've ever been one, you may have been. I don't know. I mean, maybe you went to jail and maybe you did your time and all of that, and maybe God redeemed you. That can happen. There's many that were and are now redeemed by the blood. But if you've ever talked with one, they had one thing in mind. They got up in the morning, they went through the day, they were thinking about how they can do what? Steal something. I mean, you may have been a drug addict, or maybe you were a cocaine addict or heroin addict. You had to do what? You had to support that habit, and you had one thing in mind, to steal, to support it. So this says here, the devil, the thief, has only one thing in mind. He wants to steal, slaughter, and destroy. And Jesus said, but I have come to give you everything in abundance. Everything, everything in abundance, more than you expect, life in its fullest until you overflow. So if you haven't reached overflow yet and you're still in the process, then you haven't hit it yet. And we haven't hit it yet. And he wants us to. This is Jesus speaking. Forget about what the government's doing or not doing, or how you were raised or how you were educated. You ought to read the story about Letourneau back in the 30s. He wasn't really an educated, he got educated. But you have a Letourneau University. He was the one that had over 300 patents and was helpful in designing things for the war. A godly man. God gave him wisdom. Hallelujah. So we need to do what? Walk by faith, and this determination, it's going to come through revelation. So our revelation will propel us to action. And again, as I said, our faith will fuel this determination. Divine increase will come through an increase of revelation. So divine increase is going to come from an increase in revelation from the Word of God. If you have a low level of revelation in God's Word, then you'll have a low expectation of faith. Because if your revelation is low, you're not expecting much. But when you know something, I'm taking that, and it's mine, and I will have it. And you are determined and expect to get it. But if your revelation is low, if you don't stay in the Word, if you don't water it and water it and water it to see something, then your expectation is low. So this determination that we have is fueled by revelation in the Word of God. The more revelation, the more determination. And that determination can be focused towards, I mean, when you have a little revelation, that determination is for something maybe small. But as revelation grows, God will give you something larger, and that determination is what? Expands, and it's for something what? Larger, bigger, because revelation is grown. So we never need to be complacent, right? Of where we are. What did the prophet Isaiah say in Isaiah 55:8? He said, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it to bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return void unto me, but it shall what? Accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing that I sent it. Glory to God. So this determination, we may start with a determined attitude and a determination to take something from God, but where's the battleground? In the mind, in the thoughts, in our thinking. And that determination, if you know, let's take a quick look at 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 4. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 4 and 5. It says, for the weapons of what? Our warfare are not carnal, but what? Mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and what? Every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity some thoughts, every thought. Say every thought. Every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, I'm not asking for a show of hands, but if I said stronghold to you, most of us, and I would say probably even including myself, would think that stronghold meant something negative. Right? Would we not agree? That's a stronghold. And we think it must be something bad. But how about if we had a stronghold in our mind of God's word? A stronghold so that every thought that comes in is captured. Because I've got a stronghold in my thinking. If it's built on the word of God, then our mind can do what? Immediately cast down thoughts. That do what? That it says, and bringing it into the obedience to Christ. It's a stronghold. That doesn't mean I'm possessed, but it means my mind is strong on the word of God. I have a stronghold in my thinking. Right? And that takes me being, that takes a determination. That's what Paul said. He said, I'm determined to know Christ and his power. He was determined. So there's this, you know, as we say, there's this war, ongoing war in our thinking when things happen. You've got to have a determined mind that I have what God says I have and can have, and I'm not letting go. I'm determined, right? That is, again, fueled by revelation. And that's why it's so important to constantly feed. You know, think about this one scripture. I believe it's in Jude. I believe it is, where it says, building up ourselves on our what? Most holy faith, doing what? Praying in what? The Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, praying in other tongues. So we can, there's one translation, I don't have it in front of me, but it says that your faith is enriched by praying in the Holy Ghost. Oh, man, that is good. So you're, you know, think about just what can be enriched. You know, you buy food, it says big letters, enriched. And most of us go, boy, what'd they do to that? But you think about all the different things, even in society. What do they do? They make things to enhance or to build up. I think it's another word. It says building up ourselves on our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. So this determination can be enriched or enhanced through revelation, because when you pray in the Holy Ghost, wisdom and revelation does come. Thus, determination comes. Now, let's take a look at a few accounts real quick. Look at, this is Paul, 2 Corinthians 12. This is Paul's account of his, as he calls it, his thorn in the flesh. So now here, he already knew, God showed him before he went into ministry the things that he would endure. But 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 7, it says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh." What does it say the thorn in the flesh was? The messenger of Satan to do what? Buffet him. That's what he comes to do, to buffet us. And what does this say? "Lest I should be exalted above measure, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might do what? Depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, my strength is made perfect in weakness." So this is a divine word from heaven to Paul, who said he had already received an abundance of revelations. Now, you'd think if there was anybody determined, it would have been him, and he was. But boy, after all of these things in his life, he's like, "Phew, take this away. I've had enough." But what happened? Through revelation, what happened? Then what was his response? "Most gladly." So it sounds like his determination just got fueled. He said, "Most gladly. Therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of God may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities." Well, it didn't sound like that before. Before the revelation, it didn't sound like that. He said, "Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities, in persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Hallelujah. So that determination just got enhanced or enriched or fueled from some revelation. Hallelujah. And then there's others. Let's look at Luke chapter 5, verse 17. This is the man with the palsy. You look at determination. That's how many of us would just say, "Oh, well, I can't get in." Now, some, you know, just maybe because of their makeup, their personality, they go and bogart in. You know what I mean by that? They're going to push their way in. And then some will just do what? Forget it. And it says, "And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the what? The power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they gave up." No. It says they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch in the midst before Jesus. Let me tell you, that's some determination. So that means to me, there must have been a revelation of Jesus to them that said, I want what I know he will do, and I'm getting it. Come what may, I'm going to get it. And I'm not backing away, backing down. We're going to tear the roof off, and we're going to let him down. And that same kind of determination we must have, and it's based upon what? A blood covenant. Always remember that these words are sealed in the blood of Jesus. They cannot fail. That's why I love these songs that we sing. We will never fail. We will never fail. We will never fail. We need to say, I will never fail. 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 Never. It may look like it, but I'm not going to fail. 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 And so what did he go, you know, what did Jesus say? When he saw their faith, he said unto them, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And you know the rest of the story. Jesus began to have a word of knowledge about what they were thinking. Yeah, what reason ye in your hearts, whether it's easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, rise up and walk. But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy couch, and go into thine house. And it doesn't say, but I'm sure that if it did, it would have said, and they grit their teeth. Yeah. And let's look at one more account. Well, there's many, but let's look at Matthew 14, verse 27. This is Peter walking on the water. Peter walking on the water. Starting in verse 27. But straightway Jesus spake unto them. Why? Because they said, they were all afraid. They said, it's a ghost. And then what happened? But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. He didn't just say, what did he say? He said, on the water. This is Peter. Bid me come on the water. And Jesus said, come. Now that's a word, that's revelation right there. Come. Come. And that word was revelation. What did it do? It fueled that determination. That revelation fueled his determination. You know it had to. He got out of the boat. He got out. That's what it said. And when Peter was what? Come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, the rest of the story, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And Jesus did. So this is why it's important. Stay in the Word. Feed on the Word. Keep feeding. Keep feeding. Keep feeding. Keep speaking. Keep sowing. Keep watering. Because as revelation comes, your determination is going to be fueled and grow and expand. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's look at one last scripture here. James chapter 1, starting in verse 2. James 1, starting in verse 2. Because this determination that we have needs patience. It says, my brethren, count it all joy when you do what? Fall into divers temptations. That means adversity. That's what that word means. Temptation means adversity. Knowing this, that the what? The trying of your faith is supposed to do what? It worketh patience. Actually, a more accurate rendering is endurance. It works patience. It works endurance. Your endurance. So when faith is tested, it works something. Not for you to give up, but it works your patience, your endurance. And what does it say? But let patience or endurance have her what? Perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. One scholar calls it staying power. Another contemporary translator calls it hang in there power. You need to hang in there. When stuff is buffeting up and you're in the midst of something, you need to hang in. Hang in. Plead the blood. Stand on the word. Keep watering. Keep feeding. Build a stronghold in your mind, in your heart. Hallelujah. The word patience or endurance, this word, this Greek word, conveys the idea of being steadfast, consistent, unwavering, and unflinching. It is the attitude that declares, I don't care how heavy the load gets or how much pressure I'm under, I'm not budging one inch. I'm not budging. This is my spot, and I'm telling you right now that there isn't enough pressure in the whole world to make me move or give up. You've got to be determined that God said it. He will make his word come to pass. It's sealed in the blood. And if I don't give up, what does it say? It says he is faithful that promised. Hallelujah. The New Living Translation says, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, I like this, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. Most of us say, yeah, I'm going over. But then when there's some pressure, we're like, I don't want this. I don't like this. But your faith, when it's tested, what does it say? It's your endurance has a chance to grow. I remember Brother Hagin sharing this when towards the end of his life. He said, do you know why I'm so steady at this time in my life? He said, because I had to suffer a lot. And that suffering produced endurance. So that no matter what came, he wasn't moved. So let it grow. So for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. Hallelujah. So I would just, this is Rick Renner's version of this, James 1, 4. But let patience have her perfect work. I'm talking about the kind of attitude that hangs in there. Never giving up. Refusing to surrender to obstacles and turning down every opportunity to quit. Oh, yeah. I'm going to read that again. This is Rick Renner's version of this, because he's coming out with a translation. But let patience have her perfect work. I'm talking about the kind of attitude that hangs in there, never giving up, refusing to surrender to obstacles, and turning down every opportunity to quit. You're just going to stand and hang in there and let endurance grow and develop. Be determined. Be steadfast, not budging. You know, I would say this. I heard someone say this one time. He said, it's easier to squash an acorn than it is a tree. So you take an acorn that gets growing, it's easier to mash that so it doesn't produce than once it gets in the ground and it starts to produce, it's harder to destroy. So this is the principle that the devil sometimes will put on a lot of pressure for the purpose of you quitting and giving up and not letting that determination stay steady, but push you to the place that, it ain't worth it. Oh, yeah, it is. Because it's the generations that you affect. It's the children that you minister to, the adults, those that you come in contact with, and he knows that. It's not about you, it's who's in you and the power of the gospel that's in you that changes lives. And he knows that. So never give up, never give in. It's like, this is my spot. I'm taking this spot, and I'm not budging. Whatever that is. Whatever you're believing God for, don't let go. Praise God. It's what he wants us to do, increase. Increase. And that divine increase is going to come from what? Revelation. And that revelation, that increase in revelation is going to come from planting seed, watering it, and reaping a harvest. Praise God. Glory to God. Father, we thank you today for your word. Thank you for the supernatural word of God. Thank you that it changes our thinking, changes our heart. Thank you for the love of God that's been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And we thank you for fueling our determination. Thank you for strengthening us. As Paul said, we thank you that your grace is truly sufficient, for when I am weak, you're strong in me. And I thank you that I glory in those tests and trials that I may face in life, for truly your strength gets me through and over. In the name of Jesus. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Praise God. So I'm just going to make this offer or extend this offer. If you're here today or you're watching online and you don't know the Lord Jesus, today's your day. If you believe that he is the Christ and that he was raised from the dead, you believe that, then the next step is to just say that with your mouth, believe it in your heart, and that is entrance into heaven. Not your good works or lack thereof. Not your bad life that you had. Nothing. The blood has paid for it all. So no matter what you've done in life, the blood cleanses it. I don't care what it is. So let's say this from a heart of sincerity. Father God, I believe that you sent your Son to this earth to die for the sins of mankind. I believe that he took my sins, he took them to hell, and when sin was paid for, he was released from hell, and we were raised from hell and seated with him in heavenly places. I believe that he is my Savior. I ask him into my heart, and I confess him as my Lord and Savior, and I'm now saved. If you said that simple prayer and meant that in your heart, whether it was the first time or the second or third time, you're saved. You're cleansed. And you can stand before the Father God just as righteous as Jesus. So let us know if that was your testimony. Send us an email or write us or call us, and we'll send you some free information as to who you've become in Christ. Praise God.